Two extremely impactful players from the NFC East, one a linebacker, the other a receiver, both at the top of their superpowers on the gridiron, have requested trades away from their teams after reaching contractual impasses. And the funny thing is, your New England Patriots would benefit from either one of those players being traded for and signed to lucrative contractual extensions. Which one should they go for? The receiver, the linebacker, or maybe both? Screw it. Let's do it live. It's Fitzy and Lyons talking Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons on the latest live Six Rings and Football Things.
Hey, whatever it takes, man.
It's all about winning, all right? Winning on three. One, two, three, win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Roman. All around. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a minute, Terry boots a 48-yard field goal. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
The quarterback.
Half a minute, no timeouts. Daniels throws down the sideline for Terry McLaurin. McLaurin is loose. Lightning strikes twice in Washington.
Ooh-wee. I could use me some of that in Foxborough ASAMFP. What's up, Pats pals and Foxborough friends? Your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens from WEEI and the Six Rings podcast, joined impromptu style for an emergency pod on a Friday night by my craft beer pal, Patriots savant, and of course, the coach in residence at WEEI, John Lyons himself, the real John Lyons, for a little Six Rings and Football Things, talking Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons. Now, look, let's just say right now, we should probably lead with the disclaimer, John, that there's a high likelihood that your New England Patriots, who are currently putting on their in-stadium practice for the season ticket members down at Gillette Stadium, it's probably a more robust, feistier, entertaining edition than in recent seasons of Belichick and last year's Mayo mess. That they could use both of these guys. But each of them being traded for is probably a 20% likelihood tops, or so Grok told me on the X platform earlier today. That said, I think it's pretty undeniable that the Pats could use both of them. So from the outside, tell me which of these guys you would want first. Of course, you'd want both. But if they could only trade for one, which of them would it be? And why do you think that guy would make a great fit for the Pats?
Yeah, and it feels like Fitzy, it's a pretty unique situation to have two players of this caliber. We're talking Terry McLaurin, top 10 receiver in the NFL, Micah Parsons, top 5 defensive player, maybe top 3 defensive player in the NFL, both wanting out of their respective cities within the same week, you know, both being available. And it's interesting because normally I'd say 9 times out of 10, Fitzy, I would tell you to get the defensive end, because I think you have to build from the inside out. Even in today's pass happy league, you still have to have good defensive end setting the edge and rushing the passer, which Parsons is. But in this particular situation, I think Terry McLaurin is the better target for the Patriots for a couple of reasons. Now, I know he turns 30 in September, so he's older than Micah Parsons at 26, but
so what?
He still has, I think, a few high-level years left in him. We're talking about a guy with 5 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. And, yeah, last year he had Jaden Daniels, and that was fun. But let's not forget, he had 1,000-yard seasons with Sam Howell and guys like that before in Washington.
Yep. And Taylor Heineke as well. Like, the dude has just cycled through mid to above level to finally elite-level quarterback play, and he has wash, rinse, repeated 1,100 yards, 68 to 80 catches and 4 to 8 touchdowns on the regular. Dude is super dependable.
And you're talking about a guy in Terry McLaurin, right? He would instantly walk in and be your best offensive player at any position. He's played in all 17 games since 2021, so he's an extremely durable player at a valuable position. And yes, you'd have to pay him a lot, but the contract you'd give him would be no different than what they've already offered to Brandon Ayuk last year and Chris Godwin earlier this year. So they've shown their willingness to pay that money, even though it didn't work. And I also think when you dig a little bit deeper, he can run every type of route you need to run, which I know sounds cliche, but it's important. He had 56 catches for first downs last year, which would have been far and away the most on the Patriots. The leader on the Patriots last year was Hunter Henry with 40. And a lot of that was right. The Patriots had a bad offense, but we're talking about a guy who I think would have an impact equivalent to when they drafted Rob Gronkowski in 2010 or traded for Randy Moss in 2007. And I'm not saying he's quite as good as those players, but the impact he would have based on what's around him would be similar to that. I mean, again, we would be talking about a guy that would be the best offensive player you have right now and the best offensive player you've had since Julian Edelman retired, you know, maybe since Tom Brady left, if we're talking just overall talented offensive player. Like, that's what we're talking about here. And I think, look, if you got to trade a second and a third round pick, well, if you're going to win eight or nine games this year, we're talking a mid second round pick and maybe a third round pick next year to get a guy. I mean, again, I'm not saying it's cheap.
Is this the trade button? Can I hit it? Can I hit it now, please?
I'm not saying it's cheap, but we're talking about a guy that would make a massive impact in an AFC playoff race. And I'm not trying to project it out too far here, Fitzy, but you're going to be battling for that six or seven seed, probably with a team like Denver, a team like Pittsburgh, right? Seeing who can get the final win needed, right, to get those playoff spots. McLaurin's a guy that can help you get that final win or two that you need to get in the playoffs.
So immediately, if you acquire Terry McLaurin, and let's just for our operational purposes, let's say it's a second, a fourth, and a player, because you're going to have now, you already have too many wide receivers and the cut down, not to say that in our eyes or the eyes of Elliott Wolf, Mike Vrabel, and Josh McDaniels is going to be too difficult to make, but you're going to end up seeing guys like possibly Jalen Polk or Javon Baker or even Kendrick Bourne kicked to the curb, traded, or just not made members of the 2025 squad. So you could give them a chance to be included should Washington have any interest in one of those guys. I think there has to just be a ton of posturing going on between McLaurin and the Commanders. Yeah. Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury have to know how incredibly integral he is, even with the addition of old man Samuel, with Deebo Samuel in the offseason.
Well, McLaurin right now is a better player than Deebo. I mean, a few years ago
on that team, except for Jaden Daniels.
And it's crazy in that when you look at Washington, they trade for Laremy Tunsil, they trade for Deebo Samuel. They've invested all this money in either keeping guys around there or bringing new guys in. The one guy that's a homegrown player on offense that's been a star with both good quarterbacks and bad, they don't want to keep around. I mean, I don't know. I agree. I think there is a lot of posturing being done because it feels like the Micah Parsons situation, there's real anger and animosity there. Whereas this one, I don't know if it – again, I'm not saying that he's definitely going to be back in Washington and McLaurin, but it doesn't feel like there's as much animosity as the Dallas situation.
Yes, the Dallas situation seems like there is legit – beyond frustration, there is legit animus there involved. And yes, everyone, that's a fancy word for anger, frustration, aggravation and beyond. And I think Micah Parsons just wants to be done with the entire Jerry Jones sideshow. And Jerry Jones, Jerry loves him.
Well, and think about this.
He loves him a sideshow and some headlines.
And think about it. Like, if you look at over the last 10 years, what Dallas has done, like, they played hardball with Zeke Elliott and Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott. And then again,
and then end up overpaying all of them in the end.
And then again with CeeDee Lamb. Now they're doing with Parsons. And oh, let's not forget, they choose to hire Brian Schottenheimer instead of Bill Belichick or Aaron Glenn or any of the other highly qualified coaching candidates. Mm-hmm. Brian Flores is another one. Like, they could have made a run at Mike Vrabel too, and they didn't.
Sure.
He wants
a controllable coach because Jerry wants to be the show. That's always the way it's going to be.
And if I'm a player on Dallas, I look around in my own division and it's like, well, Philly's the best team in the NFL. Washington just went to the NFC championship game. And now the owner has played hardball with CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, and now Micah Parsons. Like, it's a weird situation. It feels like just a classic case of them shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, like, oh, hey, we've got, according to Bill Barnwell, we've got a defender so elite that he makes us the best per EPA defensive unit on the field in football when he's on the field. And then when he's not on the field, we're the second worst as far as EPA goes. Like, passes don't get completed. Sacks get made. He blows things up. He is, if you were to say Micah Parsons is one of the five best defenders in the NFL, you would not be getting out over your skis. You would not be telling any tales.
Honestly.
Oh, honest to God, I'd take him over. I can't really name anybody in the NFL.
I mean, Pat Surtain, Micah Parsons, those might be your two best.
We got Gonzo. I mean, there's already two good cornerbacks, depending on load management, health, and soft tissue injuries. We've got two of the best cornerbacks in the NFL already. You've got a good middle linebacker. Your pass rush looks like it's improving, as does your D-line. Guess what? Every single level of your defense improves massively if you trade the farm and a fortune and then pay him 5 years, $40 million per, because that you're going to have to do at least that. He's going to want TJ Watt money and then some. And personally, I think he's worth it. That said,
he is worth it.
110,000 million zillion percent. But that said, getting back into the qualifiables and the realm of actual reality for the Pats, I still think McLaurin ends up staying with the Commanders. But Terry McLaurin on this offense, the side of the ball that needs the work and the improvement and the star power and the flash much more, because the Pats defense could very well be a top 10 to top 15 to top 10. I'll put it that way. I'd say baseline for them should be top 15.
Yeah,
first half, upper half of the league. Top 10 potential, as is right now, if they're all healthy all season. A huge if. Such a big word for only two letters, as Joe Namath would famously say. But Terry McLaurin is the more realistic target, John. And Terry McLaurin paired opposite Stephon Diggs with the running back room that you have, even with the questions we have along the entirety of the offensive line, you pair Hunter Henry in there, Steph Diggs, Terry McLaurin, either Ramondre or Travion, back there with the developing Drake May, and you tell Josh McDaniels, you don't have to worry about having an offense where the longest pass you throw is 15 yards because the line's not going to get to it, or because all of your receivers are better just running in cuts, bubble screens, and these little zing-zang zip-zap routes. No. Now we've got somebody that can work the whole field, who catches everything, including snide remarks and colds. This guy has great hands. He's a solid teammate. And there has to be a reasonable level of frustration for a guy like Terry McLaurin, who has never made the headlines or Page Six for the wrong reasons. You've not seen that face on NFL.com or any other website for like, oh, Terry McLaurin involved in a nightclub incident. Terry McLaurin caught speeding. No. It's more like Terry McLaurin, poor guy, has been hanging and banging in Washington for all these years, finally does not get contract because team thinks he's going to be on the wrong side of 30. When they finally become a Super Bowl contender. The New England Patriots with McLaurin, John, would go from a team that would be making headlines for turning things around to a legitimate wild card candidate. Like, I would expect the New England Patriots to make the playoffs if they got Terry McLaurin, because that offense would wake TF up and be a lot of fun to watch. And you know, everyone from the line to the coaches, and especially Drake May, would be like, what can I do? You want me to drive to TF Green to pick him up? Do you want me to find out what his favorite DoorDash order is? We'll have Dino from VSB send down some elite IPAs and beers if that's his thing. Whatever he needs, we can all, you know, it can take a village and we can all do it together to make it happen. And if it's a second and a third in Kendrick Bourne, once again, I'll drive him to Logan. John, you pack his bags, whatever we got to do.
And you look at how this would affect their offense. Like I mentioned earlier, the massive impact he would have overall. But just look at the personnel, too. Like, all of a sudden, you got a guy like Terry McLaurin. Now Stephon Diggs is your second receiver. And Pop Douglas is still your slot. But Kayshon Booty's now, you know, your third outside receiver. And it kind of slots other guys down. I think it makes you a much better offense overall. And you're relying less on guys like Austin Hooper to be big producers at tight end because you have McLaurin at receiver. So I think if you look at where it puts everyone in the offense, it helps out a lot. Now, it doesn't solve your offensive line questions or issues, but I think it puts a lot of your personnel on offense kind of where they should be. So it's not just the statistical impact. And I agree with you. Like, if he's on this team, they are, I think, a playoff team. And then, of course, come playoff time, that's when, you know, maybe your offensive line issues come up, or a second-year quarterback, and you have some limitations on how far you go. But with Terry McLaurin, based off what they have defensively and other pieces on offense, like that, I think that does make you a playoff team.
Okay, so let's say Washington, like, he's dead serious. Like, no, this is what I deserved. I know how important I was to Daniel's development as well as the offense last year. Let's say it's a done deal. They can't get anything. He puts his foot down, and this was like, no, this wasn't removing his photos from Instagram of himself in a Commander's uniform level petty and posturing. This was, no, I'm done. It's time to go. And Washington doesn't want to risk it and have him sit out. So what are we looking at? We're looking at a second or third in a player. And then how much would that possible contract offer be from New England? We're looking at like what? $125,000
So I'm thinking it would be a second this year, maybe a third next year, and then maybe some sort of player on top of that. And you wonder, what does Washington think? Like, do they think that Kayshon Booty has to be the guy coming back? Or do they think, you know, they can get something out of Polk and Baker and they want one of those guys? Like, the key part of it is the second and the third, I think there. And again, if you're going to win 8 or 9 games, we're talking about a mid second round pick this year and a mid to late third round pick next year. Like, to me, that's worth it. And then contract wise, again, they offered Ayuk $30 million plus last year, and McLaurin's a much better player than Ayuk.
And Godwin was coming off that awful ankle injury. And so, then they offer him at like 3 years at 30 million each. And they said they waive the medical. That's like buying a house, like no inspection, because there's going to be a cash only bidding war.
I feel like it'd be 4 at $130 million-ish. So we're talking over $30 million a year, 4 years. And I don't know how much of that would be guaranteed. But again, I mean, whether you believe in cap space or not, the Patriots have the most of it in the NFL.
And pay that man his money.
And this is also something that you and I have talked about and a lot of people have talked about. You still have Drake May on that rookie contract. Like, now is the time, if you're going to really go after a big ticket item in your receiver room, that would be something there, right? Like with Drake May, you don't have to pay him for a couple more years. Mm-hmm. And Will Campbell, even, let's say he's good. You don't have to pay him for 3 more years, a big left tackle salary. Christian Gonzalez, you don't have to pay for another year. So it's like, if you're going to do something like that, this is a financially advantageous time to do it anyway.
Okay, so Randy L. in the comments, as we record Six Rings and Football Things live here on the WEEI and Fitzy GFY socials on a Friday night, he says, look, by year 4 of that McLaurin contract, you'd have Gonzo and Drake on the books on their second contract. Sure. But realistically,
you know what I would say to that, though? Like, you can afford that.
Yeah, you can, like, Les Snead that. You can Sean McVay that.
We've seen this Ravens with the Eagles, with the Rams, yeah, right? We've seen it with the 49ers, right? Like, yep. You can afford, like, yeah, the 49ers traded Debo. They paid everybody else, including the young quarterback. So you can afford that. And even if, God forbid, it's the 4th year of McLaurin's deal, it's 1 year. Okay, what, like, you got to pay extra money. I don't, like, I understand, like, the person's not wrong in that it would be a lot of money. It's just, you can afford that. If you're the Patriots, you can afford that.
Yeah, you can. And you find a way. You know what, guys like you and me and people in the comments and the people that will listen to this and Pats fans in general, whether they're at the stadium now or they're getting fired up for Sunday, September 7th against Tom Brady. Gross. Saw him in Raiders colors on the practice field today. Disgusting. Can't believe I'm not going to be crying my eyes out when I see his statue revealed next Friday night before the preseason game against the Commanders. And, oh, by the way, everybody, just to gently remind you, the Patriots have joint practices with the Washington Commanders coming up this week. Lyons and I will be down there with the latest observations.
Which team will Terry McLaurin be practicing for?
Well, breaking news, everybody. This just in, Terry McLaurin switching locker rooms, a blockbuster trade as he makes his way from the Commanders to the Patriots in joint practices before Friday night's pretend season game at the Razor on Tom Brady statue night. That would be some hot headline action. Again, it's probably all posturing. And yeah, we're steering into the narratives, the game, and the nonsense. But this is when you're supposed to have fun with this. And for those people that want to see their team not choose violence or chaos or mania, but see them do business as they haven't been doing business, John, which is frugally, which is, you know, foolishly, which is also, you know, with a bottom line in mind, I would like for them to choose to do business with the playoffs in mind, with a playoff game, with a full, with a pro shop sold out of jerseys, with full parking lots, with people blaring Crazy Train in tribute before games where they think they're going to see their team, I don't know, score more than 24 freaking points once on purpose.
Yeah. And it's something that, like, again, the, impact of a player like this, you really can't overstate it. And I'm not saying he's going to come in, wave a magic wand and solve their offensive line problems and all their other issues. But you bring a guy like this in, he's going to be the best player you've had in 5 years offensively, maybe 6 years offensively. The cost is not unreasonable. And to your point about how they're doing business, I mean, look around the league. I mean, the Steelers of all teams who usually don't do things like this had to pay a big price to get DK Metcalf. But like,
less,
it's just
less $30 million a season. And he was a second and a sixth.
Yeah. So this is kind of, if you're going to get one of those elite receivers, you either have to draft them like the Bengals did, or you have to do what the Steelers did. Like, they don't hit free agency. It's just extremely rare for them to hit free agency.
You call, a paradox watching live on YouTube right now. This is interesting. A first and a second, Kendrick Bourne and Keon White to Dallas for Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I think you're going to need way more than that. Like, Khalil Mack was 2 firsts, a third round pick, I think a 6th round pick, and he was 27 when he went from the Raiders to the Bears. Parsons is younger. You can make the case, whether it's personal preference, you can make the case Parsons is better than Khalil Mack. I mean, that's probably just whoever you like better, but very similar players. Parsons is a year younger, and it's just, again, I think if you're trading for Micah Parsons, we're talking multiple first-round picks, maybe a second or a third on top of that in a player. So it's just to, so you're aware, like, that's what the cost is going to be.
Yeah, and also to everybody who's like, oh, no, it'll probably be to Buffalo or to Kansas City. Guys, they don't just because, like, this isn't like, oh, I want to get sent to a winner. Terry McLaurin wants to go someplace, sure, where he wants to compete and win, and he saw what kind of impact he can have with a young, mobile, strong-armed quarterback last year, and he and Diggs, my God, could they unlock the cheat code in all of the next levels alongside McDaniels this year for Drake May, number one. And number two, the team has final say and control over this. So if New England has the sexiest package, then the best offer, it's not going to be, oh, he'll go to a contender like Buffalo or KC. Like, no, the Patriots could contact, offer a couple players, a couple of draft picks, and then tell Terry's agent, in one of those, you know, Tampa Bay type of things, like, hey, guy, we got 4 for $132 sitting on the table. Come on up here. We'll make you feel good. How about a nice, crisp Larry Bird every year in the million department to chase after Buffalo and try to take back the throne of the AFC East, which they belong?
And to your point, if the Patriots give the same offer to that, say, the Bills or the Chiefs do, well, the Patriots' offer is going to be more attractive because chances are their second and third round picks will be higher than the Bills and the Chiefs. So they can even give the exact same offer, quote unquote, but it'll still be more attractive because they're likely to pick higher. So, yeah, I mean, sure, you might want to go to a contender, but I see a much easier path for the Patriots to get Terry McLaurin than I do Micah Parsons. Same even though here, it feels, man, like Parsons is more angry at the Cowboys than McLaurin is at Washington, I just think the cost of it will be a little bit less than, because Parsons, the cost, again, I'm not saying Parsons isn't worth it. It's just that cost, whether you're a contender, a non-contender, whatever, that cost is going to be astronomical.
Couldn't agree with you more. What do you think, Pats, pals, and Foxborough friends? Do you want to see the Patriots trade for scary Terry? Would you be cool with having to watch a team that has a dynamic, if not potentially explosive, offense that could get after it on a regular basis? Diggs' feelings be damned. You know what? I'm sure he and Terry McLaurin could probably shake hands and agree to be 1As on a team that would be that much better, as opposed to, for anyone worried about Diggs, like, oh no, but I thought he's going to be the guy. He can still be the guy, and Terry McLaurin can also be the guy. And they can also agree that the team is better because of having each other on there, and that they'll improve the offense, and that'll make everyone happy because at the end of the day, John, they'll both end up getting paid.
And Diggs, by the way, just came from a situation in Houston where he was the number two receiver behind Nico Collins.
And that didn't seem to cause any problems with him as well.
I mean, it was injuries, right? They didn't have any conflict. So I don't think that'll be – I would not anticipate that being any sort of issue.
Right. So I think that's the way they should go too, if there's any chance. Which one would you guys prefer? How much would you like to see the team spend, both in terms of draft capital, players, the big monies, and more? Give us a shout. He, of course, is at The Real John Lyons. You can hear him on the weekends at WEEI, read his notes from training camp, and hear him on the Six Rings podcast on the regular. And this is your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens at Fitzy GFY. Glad to have you on an impromptu Friday night Six Rings pod, talking Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons. And thank you guys for listening to our podcast and helping grow the best Pats fan community in the biz, subscribing on Apple Pods, Spotify, of course, the Odyssey app, and the iHeart app as well. All right, that'll do for this impromptu emergency Six Rings pod. Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons, could they be traded? And will your Patriots be bold enough to make a move for one, either, or both? Until the next time, folks, we'll continue with the Pats Camp Review podcast all week long. I'll have a nice fresh review of Tom Brady's statue reveal night and, of course, the pretend season game against the Commanders next week. Look forward to John with his report after the joint practices next week and so much more. Have a great weekend. Smoke them if you got them. Drink up. God bless. Take care of the little ones. And as always, go Pats.